Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I gotta say, beautiful, sunny Clearwater, Florida today. And we are glad you are joining us locally through Tantalk1340.com or AM Radio 1340 or with the new Starcom Media Network affiliates that we are now with. And we welcome every single one of you to the show today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And with me today are two of our radio team members, actually maybe three, but two for sure. And Megan up in Indiana, are you there, girl?
I am on, and it's sunny and warm here, too.
No way. In the frozen tundra, you actually have sun?
Tundra. It's warm, and the sun is shining, and it's so nice.
What do you?
Not as warm as Florida. But.
Did you reach 20 degrees already? Is that what happened?
We went past it.
Oh, you did.
55.
You guys have had such a terrible winter, and a lot of our listeners in other states have had the same type of awful winter. I tell you, spring can't come too soon for you all, right?
No, it cannot.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting that it's warmer weather. And Pastor Jim, we're here in my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, is right here in the studio with me. Nan is also here, and we'll see what God does through her today through some poems, perhaps. Megan, you know how that works, right?
We know all about them poems.
We sure do. And Megan's up in Cottersville, Indiana, and a part of our radio team, you and your mother, Betty, and... Pastor Jim, I didn't have your mic on, did I?
Yes, I was just gonna ask Megan what she considered warm.
Oh, you want to know what's warm,
yeah,
Megan?
What's warm?
Well, I said it was 55.
Oh, 55.
Oh, wow.
She
okay.
said 55.
Okay, that is warm for this time of
it
year.
It is, so that's great. You're having a beautiful day. Wonderful.
We
well, we certainly are, too. We are so excited to be on the air today and to share with our listeners around the globe God's amazing love and his goodness and his grace and his mercy to each of us. This broadcast, Living the Good Life, is all about learning to live in the goodness of God and to really appropriate it for yourself. And we just have such joy every week, don't we, Pastor Jim, being able to just spread this good news of what God wants to do in our lives and how he changes us.
I just love being on the radio.
You do, don't you?
I love this show.
Yes.
Because it's such an outreach opportunity, and it's such a blessing to be part of that. To be able to, even people we may never meet on this side of heaven, but at least people, you know, gives us a chance to tell what God's done for us, what God can do for you.
Amen.
Just the wonders and the miracles that he's just waiting to provide.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, next month in April, about the middle of April, we will celebrate our 8th anniversary of this show. We began the middle of April of 2007. This is 15, so that's right, 8 years, correct? And we recently just celebrated our 400th radio show. And for those of you that might be new to the ministry of Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope, we have a website. It's BOHM, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, and it's BOHM Global com is the website. You can go there. You can listen to hundreds of our radio shows. So it's a good way to learn the word and really receive some good teaching and great contemporary music. I love our music, Pastor Jim. You and I, we just love this music, don't we?
Oh, amen, amen.
Some of the best artists out there.
Well, and I was going to say, I was looking over the music today, and it looks to be kind of a Hillsong sort of day.
It kind of is, isn't it? Hillsong. I've just been listening to a lot of Hillsong. And Hillsong United, what a great group. Casting Crowns, some of our favorites. Matt Redman, been listening to a lot of him lately. Chris Tomlin, that's the kind of music we play a lot on this show. And, you know, we just try to see what God wants played for this particular show every week. And it's fun and it's exciting. And we also will allow you to text in during the show or after the show. It doesn't have to be during the show. But you can if you want to. And the new text number for the ministry is 727-888-4171. And we check that periodically during the show and at all times. So if you want to ever send something to us, feel free. One more time, 727-888-4171. You can also email us during the show, pastor@bohmglobal.com. And that's my email address, and we will be happy to respond to you during the show. We don't take call-ins, but we do that, and those come straight to my phone, so, you know, I can check them during the show at different times. So anyway, you're welcome to get a hold of us during the show, comment, or ask a question. That's great. So we're excited about what God's going to do today. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you from the bottom of our hearts for this opportunity this day to share your word with our listening audience, wherever they might be scattered around this globe. Lord, it is an honor. It is a privilege to be able to be your ambassadors of peace and love and joy and truth. And the word of God, as we share it today, it's a joy to be able to share your word. Lord, we just love it. So, Lord, we ask that you bless every song, everything that's sung, the way, everything that's taught, and everything that we talk about. Lord, let it just really be a blessing to our listeners this day. We give you glory and praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the book of Mark. So if you are able to turn in your Bible and not driving down the road, Mark, let's find chapter 2. We're talking about Jesus. We're a few weeks prior to Resurrection Sunday. And it was prophesied in the book of Isaiah that the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, would come to this earth. And he did. And we're going to celebrate all of that here soon. Listen to this song by Hillsong, "Let the Peace of God Reign in Each of Us." Amen.
Father of life, draw me closer. Spirit, oh my comfort.
Praise God. Oh, Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise up within me. Let the peace of God reign. Let me know your truth. Boy, aren't those the attitudes we should be having right now and what we need to be saying to God? Oh, Nan, do you have something? Starting with, here we go.
Let my peace reign within you, for it will help you make it through. You will be so wonderfully renewed, for that is what I lovingly do. My peace feels so great within, and upon it you can depend. I'm here to comfort your heart. Feel my peace. Let it start. Everyone can have this great peace. Feel it now. Let it increase. You are worthy because of what was done. The price was paid for with my son. Feel my peace.
Oh, that's great. Woo! That's who we're talking about today, listening audience, the Prince of Peace himself, Jesus. Last week we talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and today we are going to concentrate on the ministry that Jesus did as he walked this earth, and we're going to Mark chapter 2. Let's start right there, if you have your Bibles. After a few days, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and word got around that he was back home. A crowd gathered, jamming the entrance so no one could get in or out. And I'm reading from the Message Bible translation. And the next few words, or five words, are a sentence, a complete sentence in the Message Bible. And it says this: he was teaching the word. Okay? That's what we're doing today. That's what ministry is all about. It's teaching the word of God and how it changes our lives. That's what we're doing. They brought to him, this is such an interesting story here. I really love the story in Mark chapter 2, at the beginning of Mark 2. They brought to him a paraplegic who was carried by four men. First of all, I find it very interesting that this guy had four friends that cared enough about him to carry him to Jesus. Don't you think, Pastor Jim?
And we're about to see how much they cared for him.
Oh, boy, isn't that true? And here he is, and he's a paraplegic. He means he cannot walk, nothing, cannot get around on his own. And they were not able, because of the crowd, to even get close to Jesus. Now, remember, what was Jesus doing? He was teaching the word, okay? And people were hanging on his words, because the word of God changes our lives, and we need it, and we want to hear it. And so these guys got very bold. I think this is what Pastor Jim's referring to. And they were not able to get in. So what did they do, Pastor Jim? And then we'll get to Megan here in a minute.
They went up on the roof and dug a hole in the roof and let him down through it.
You know, and that was some kind of a, probably some type of a mud, adobe type roof, would you think? Or was it a thatched straw, maybe?
Depends on where in the house it was at. If it was okay. Over the main part, it would have been like adobe, but if it was like over an enclosure,
could have been
then it could have been thatch. Either way, they dug through our roof.
Either way, I mean, that's really, yeah, they care. And now this shows some determination, and I think Jesus loves that when we are that determined to get a miracle and get a touch from God. And I'll tell you right now, audience, that's what this show is all about today. It is about finding how you can get in touch with Jesus it to such an extent that your life is forever changed, and the peace of God reigning in you as a result of you being persistent and going after what Jesus has to offer you. And so here we see that these guys removed the part of the roof, they lowered the paraplegic on the stretcher, and I love the next phrase in the Message Bible. Megan, in my Bible it says, impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, son, I forgive your sins. Megan, comment to me about this, or to all of us here, about this determination and this bold belief. I think this is pretty exciting. Are you there?
Sorry about that.
Okay.
I love the word being bold, because, you know, you picture a crowd around Jesus, and if you are there to claim your healing, if you're there to claim peace upon yourself, and I'm speaking now, do you want to be the person standing outside the hut? Oh, I just can't get through. Or do you want to be the four guys that dug through the roof to get to their friend's healing.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the kind of person I want to be. I want to be bold and I want to be courageous, because that's what we can proclaim as children of the Lord, is healing and peace and mercy.
Ooh.
That's what we're granted.
Woo! Absolutely. And when, you know, we just played the song, Let the Peace Reign. Peace reigns in us when we know that we can boldly go to our Father and ask for that miracle. And when we know that Jesus wants to pay attention to our needs and cares enough to notice when we are persistent like this, right, Pastor Jim? I mean, Jesus was impressed.
He was. And that's really cool.
I like that.
Because faith isn't something you just have. It needs to be expressed.
Exactly.
Just by its very nature. And some people think, and I think the book of James, there are other examples where Jesus told the 10 lepers they were healed, and it says as they went away believing, and as
right.
they went, they were healed. Faith demands action of some sort.
Right.
And like these guys, they believed, they knew if they could get close enough to Jesus, their friend would be healed, and whatever it took, they were going to do that. That's how strong their faith was.
Oh, absolutely. And I know you just mentioned the 10 lepers, but let's go up a minute into chapter 1 of Mark and look at the leper who comes to Jesus in about verse 38 of Mark 1. And Jesus says, you know, I've come to preach the word. I've got to get out there. He went to their meeting places. He went everywhere. He was preaching. He was throwing out demons. We'll talk about that later. A leper came to him, begging on his knees, if you want to, you can cleanse me. And here's Jesus' reaction in verse 41 of Mark chapter 1, deeply moved. And I don't know what another translation, PJ, what translation are you in today?
New American Standard.
Okay, what does it say? Moved with compassion?
Moved with compassion.
Right, yeah. Jesus put out his hand and touched him and said, I want to be clean. Then and there, the leprosy was gone and his skin was smooth and healthy. Megan, talk to me about this. This is too cool about Jesus' desire. It's right here. It's very clear here what Jesus wants to do.
And he wants to heal us.
Amen.
It's that simple. He wants to heal us, not necessarily of physical ailments, but of emotional ailments, you know, things in your past that have hurt you and things
yes.
in your past that you think are directing you in the life that you lead in the future. No, he wants to heal you of that.
Amen.
The Lord's compassion, I'll tell you what, when it comes over me, all I can do is cry because it's so
me
strong.
Me too. Yes.
He's so caring. That's
yeah.
what we're here to talk about, is how caring the Lord is.
Amen. And these two stories right here, just these right here, show the nature of Jesus and how full of compassion he was, and as he walked this earth, and he still is full of that compassion. Pastor Jim, did you want to comment on this leper? I think this is good.
The Greek word for compassion is one of my favorites, you know, like nidzomai.
Oh, yes.
None of us can say that.
It
means a churning on the inside.
Right.
Literally, it means you're just churning on the inside.
Right.
And that goes along with what Megan said. When God's compassion comes over you,
yeah,
you know, you weep. I sometimes double over.
I mean,
I've had that experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like Jesus said, well, of course I'm willing.
Mm-hmm.
And the really cool thing is, he should have defiled himself by touching the leper.
Right.
Anyone who touched a leper under the law was defiled. Instead, because he was who he was and he knew what he was going to do, it worked in reverse. Instead of Jesus becoming defiled, the leper became cleansed.
Amen.
And I think it's cool because then he says, okay, go and show yourself to the priest as
right.
a testimony.
Yes.
You know, and I think it was you, Pastor, who said, you know, and they just didn't have that many lepers healed. And here Jesus is healing lepers right and left.
Oh, all the time.
And sending them off to the temple to make their offering under the law.
Yeah.
And the priests probably just were going, I haven't done this before. I don't know what to do with this.
It had to be kind of amazing to them to see this. And it, of course, it drew attention to Jesus and to the ministry that he was performing. And look at the peace. Let's go back to that from that first song we just did a minute ago, Letting the Peace Reign. Look at the peace that must have settled in over this leper and now over the paraplegic who have been absolutely amazingly, miraculously healed because Jesus wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. He chose to do that. And the peace that resulted from these two healings right here in both of these people and the effect, we're talking about it 2,000 years later. Mm-hmm. We're still talking about this.
Well, like them, we're amazed at his teaching. And we glorify God when we see these things happen.
Yes, absolutely. And doesn't it bring us peace? Because we realize that Jesus still cares about each of us the same as he did these guys. Megan, do you want to comment on this bold belief that the paraplegic and the guys there had, his friends?
Yes, you know, it's hard to describe. But it's just like me today. I've been having a rough patch, and we all are going to go through it. Probably there are several people listening that are going through a rough patch.
Sure.
But just hang in there.
Right.
And be bold and be courageous.
Amen.
And continue to pray for your heart's desires. And it's just like me this morning. I got up today, and I could just feel the sheer utter peace wash over me. It was a new day.
Woo!
And just like with the paraplegic and the leper. It was a new beginning for them. They had received the touch from the Almighty.
Shoo, yes.
Because they had the faith to step forward and say, please heal me if you want to.
Amen.
And of course he did, and he still does.
Amen. And it's not just physical. You just mentioned it, Megan, a minute ago. It's emotional also. That
Absolutely.
The things that so many of us have gone through in our lifetime leave scars. They leave us in a situation where we have pain and hurt. And on our Thursday night show, which we'll talk about later, we just did a show this past Thursday. We're going to continue this next week. Sometimes life hurts. And, you know, it's about the traumas that we all go through in our lives. And knowing that we have a Savior that cares about every detail, whether it's a physical thing like being paralyzed or being a leper, or whether it's an emotional, mental thing, or as we're going to see here in these chapters in Mark, that so many times Jesus ministered to all kinds of situations, you know? But the crowd, it's interesting because there were some religious people. And religious, that word religious, is not the same as the word spiritual. You can be spiritual and be in tune with God and whatever. The word religious a lot of times denotes a philosophy. Pastor Jim, help me with that. The difference between religious and spiritual.
Well, especially in the Gospels, the doctors of religion were the people that stuck by the word the law. And not just the law, but all the stuff they had built around it.
Right.
And that got in the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, because Jesus never condemned the law. He condemned all the stuff that had been added to it.
Exactly.
And he condemned the people that did it.
Right.
As we're going to see right here. I mean, you know, the teachers of the law, the scribes, were thinking in their hearts, this man's a blasphemer.
Yeah.
No one can forgive sins but God alone. Well, like Jesus, you know, didn't know that. And he knew, Jesus knew, and he said, which is easier for me to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and take your mat and walk? But he did that to validate his ministry.
Right. He did that as a clue to them. Hey, I'm the Messiah.
Yeah, because he said
in
verse 10, but in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, and he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your pallet, and go home. And he rose and immediately took up his pallet and went out in the sight of them all. And they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we've never seen anything like this.
Exactly. And it started because Jesus says in the end of verse 5 of Mark 2, son, I forgive your sins. And he started this whole thing. Jesus right. started it intentionally. I think it's great.
I do too. And I think because sometimes, and this goes back, Megan, to what you were saying, sometimes the need is deeper than just physical.
Yes.
He looked at this man, and instead of saying, okay, you're healed, he knew what this man needed to hear first, which was that your sins are forgiven, because it's hard to receive healing if you've let sin become a block
Amen.
In the way.
Amen. Absolutely.
And so this man needed to hear your sins are forgiven. You know, they're gone. There's
right.
nothing blocking this now. And that's why the scribes got so upset. They're saying, wait a minute, only God can do this.
And I can picture Jesus going, duh.
Yeah, well, duh.
In other words, yeah, that's your clue. Here's your sign. Megan, go with that, will you? That's cool.
Well, you know, it was radical what he did.
Yeah, radical.
It was
good word.
Radical. And it wasn't structured. It wasn't by the law as how it was written, as how things should be done. The Lord is radical.
Yes.
And it's all over the Bible, people. That's just the way that
he works. It's all over the Bible, people.
It is. And, you know, all of the things that the Lord has done through all of the time in the Bible, it should say to us that, you know, he's going to do what he's got to do to get your attention.
Exactly.
And he will be radical. And it's okay, because that's who he is, and that's how compassionate he is, because he doesn't follow any rules. He makes the rules. He is the rules. And, you know, for the Lord to know, to tell that man, that paraplegic, that he was forgiven of his sins, can you imagine it makes me want to cry, because the lift of release from him, because he probably, I can imagine, maybe he felt like he deserved to be paralyzed.
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
And the Lord told him, no, you've done no wrong, you are healed.
Right.
It was just, it's amazing, it's so radical, it just blows my mind.
It was emotional healing and physical, as we just talked about.
Well, I think he needed both. And the root for radical is the Latin word radix, which means root.
Okay.
So when you're radical, you get to the root of the issue.
You get to the root.
You get right down to the root of it.
That's excellent. And that's what happened here. And the paraplegic was able to rise up, grabbed his stretcher, his pallet, walked out with everyone there watching him. They rubbed their eyes, incredulous. And then, I love this, at the end of verse 12 of Mark 2, then they praised God and they said, we've never seen anything like this. Whoa. Oh. How exciting is that? It's time to see these miracles. These miracles, even when we are going through difficult times or have been going through difficult times. And Megan, I don't know how much you want to say about this, but I think this really works well right here about the suffering and the pain that you and your husband Ben went through about a year ago, and of course all your whole family too. Because of what's about to happen here, I think it would be good for you to talk about this.
How radical this is! Yeah, this is radical.
People, we don't plan. We know a general idea where we're going, but we don't know how it's all going to unroll. Go ahead.
No, but I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit just tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Go," and it's like, okay, I'll talk. A year ago, almost to be April the 10th, our son Grayson was born, and he passed away the next day after 33 hours of life from a hole in his diaphragm. And I remember telling my husband that there's no way that I can do this again. And what I meant by that was there was no way I could have another baby and go through the stress again. Pardon me, I'm going to start crying, because this makes me happy. I'm not sad.
Okay, tell Mama Betty to throw some Kleenex at you. And go
down the stairs.
Oh, she went downstairs. Oh, okay. Just go right on. Go on.
So 3 months later, the Lord began speaking to me that, because we were going through some genetic testing and waiting on some answers for things in the physical about why things happened to Grayson, yada, yada, yada. Well, the Lord said, you're not going to get answers to those questions until you trust me. And it's like, okay, wow, this is a bigger surrender moment than what it was when I found out that Grayson was ill when I was pregnant with him, oh gosh, back in 2009.
And 2009, so, no, that's not.
That would have been December 2009 when I found out that Grayson had CDH, the hole in his diaphragm.
Wait a minute. December of 2013.
2013, or you can tell my brain's working.
That's okay. I just don't want our listeners to be confused.
That was a long pregnancy.
That was a long pregnancy. That was a four-year one.
That's right. So come to find out, the Lord speaking to me before Grayson's celebration service was, and people are probably think I'm really out of my mind here, but I'm telling you I'm not, said that I will be pregnant when I speak at Grayson's celebration service. And let's see, 3 weeks after that, I found out that I was
pregnant. And,
yes, and the Lord was right. I was 2 weeks pregnant, when I was talking about Grayson.
Yeah.
And the Lord.
Yeah.
And all I could hear was, it's Zoe. It's Zoe. And I know from you, Pastor, that Zoe means life.
Right.
And when we had our first ultrasound, when we could see the gender, we found out that it was Zoe. It is a girl. She's being born on the day that Grayson died, April 11th, a year exactly to the day.
You didn't set that date. That was set by the doctor, was it not?
Exactly. The doctor picked it. And I'll tell you what, people, there is life after death.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, even if you physically leave your body here on earth, there's life in heaven.
Right.
But there's also good things that come out of death here on earth, that if we maintain our faith and we maintain our trust and strength in the Lord, that we will be blessed abundantly. And we are. And ooh, I will not stop talking about how blessed and how graced that my entire family is through this circumstance.
Amen.
It's such a blessing.
And it's been a very, you know, I like what you said there, Megan. It's been a very painful time in so many ways, and very stressful and hurtful and all of the above. But through it all, you have learned to trust God more than ever before, haven't you?
Absolutely. It's amazing. You know, you think you trusted him before, but no, it can only grow stronger because, you know, we're human and we doubt. We all do.
Right.
And it's okay. But we don't have to doubt him because he does take care of us.
Amen.
All the time, no matter what's going on.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're just a few weeks away from delivery now, aren't you?
Yeah, we got 3.5 weeks. So
okay. All right. So, you know, it's interesting that God allows so much to happen in our lives. But even when we're going through difficult times, like the paraplegic, like the leper, like Megan and her husband Ben, that these kinds of circumstances, they can absolutely tear us up in so many ways, in our emotions and in every way. But, you know, just when we feel like I can't go on, I mean, here's this paraplegic, and four friends come to his aid and go out of their way to take him to Jesus. And that is what we've got to be doing, dear ones, in this day and age, more than ever, is we have to be living in such a way that people are drawn to Jesus through our lives, through the words we say. Megan, through your testimony of what God did, seeing you through that very painful time, and now bringing life out of a difficult, painful time in your life. God gets all the glory and the praise, right?
Oh, he does. Every day, every minute of every day, he does.
And we're excited to meet little Zoe.
Oh, I know it. I can't wait.
Yeah, she's going to be something else. What's her middle name?
Grace.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There's a reason for that, too. She's named after her brother, of course, Grayson, but also after the grace of God, because that's the only way she's here.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And it's pretty cool that she's named after her brother, Grayson. I think
absolutely,
that's really cool,
Thank you.
That worked out. So here's Jesus, and what is he doing? He's walking around people, ordinary people. He's not setting himself up on some big throne in the temple and not be approachable. I love this about him, Pastor Jim. I love the picture we see of Jesus through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're in Mark today, but just the way he was so approachable. Doesn't that speak to our hearts today?
Yeah, in verse 13 of chapter 2, he's out walking on the seashore.
I love it.
But,
that's,
you know, walking
my
along
kind
the
of Jesus. That's where I hang out.
He's walking on the Dunedin Causeway.
He was. He was going to kayak, but they didn't have those, so we had to use a wooden boat. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but he's just out there walking, and the multitudes were coming to him.
Right.
And he was teaching them.
Wow.
So here he is.
Same thing.
Doing his teaching again.
Doing his teaching, okay? I mean, he didn't come here expecting everybody to understand who he was. He was teaching them the principles of God's word and how they applied to those principles applied to their lives. Don't you believe that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was, I think, teaching them truly what the Bible, or at that point, the Old Testament, the law and the prophets and the writings all meant. He was teaching them what that really meant, not what had been added and stuck to it all since Moses.
Explain, would you amplify on that, Pastor Jim, the things that have been added to the law?
Well, there's the written law, which was given to Moses. And then in order to protect it, in a sense, and we all do this. You know, it's not just the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders that did that. But we all, I've done it. So I don't transgress. I might add a little bit to the commandment just to keep myself from going. It's called building a fence around the law is what they did to keep everything in. So it was oral traditions.
Okay.
Later on in Mark, Jesus condemns one because the scribes and the Pharisees condemned his disciples because they didn't wash their hands
before they ate.
So according to them, they were defiled, according to the religious leaders. There's nothing in the law that says you have to wash your hands.
Right.
It says don't eat non-kosher food.
Right.
But it doesn't say anything about about washing your hands. So that was an addition that they tacked on. And Jesus cut through all that and got to the heart of it. I mean, he repeatedly says the heart of the law is mercy.
Right.
Amen. You know, you've forgotten, you know, it says in one place in Matthew when he's condemning, Matthew chapter 23, you know, you should have kept the law, but remembered the whole purpose behind it.
There you go.
Because sometimes what would happen is you would keep the law blindly or without faith.
Kind of a rote memorization
right.
type
and
thing.
The prophets condemn that.
Right.
Yeah, and if the law became useless without faith.
Right.
And it just became a rote memorization. I'm just doing this because...
Don't you think there's a lot of people alive today, Pastor Jim, who will, they can say their incantations or they can quote something, but it doesn't really change their life? I mean, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely.
It's more of a rote memorization type thing.
How many of us grew up in a church?
Okay.
That it was all...
I see that hand.
Yeah, yeah. I was raising my hand just for our radio audience. That was me.
Yeah.
I went to church all my life. I didn't know. It's like I knew all about Jesus. I heard about him. But I didn't know him.
Right.
Until I personally encountered him. But I mean, I could quote scripture. I knew theology. I knew things about the Bible. But... I didn't know him. I didn't know the author. I knew the book.
Okay, this takes me back to Mark 1:35. Let's skip back up there a minute because I love this point that we're making right now because it's all about your relationship with God. That's what having a savior means. it's all about your relationship. So in Mark 1:35, here's what Jesus did. While it was still night, way before dawn, he got up and went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Jesus did this. Now, wait a minute. This is the Messiah. This is part of the Trinity. This is part of the Godhead. Simon and those with him went looking for him, and they found him, and they said, everybody's looking for you. And Jesus said, let's go to the rest of the villages so I can preach there also. This is why I've come. And then he goes out and he begins to minister more. But don't you find it fascinating that he secluded himself? He got up in the middle of the night, got away from all those that he was staying with in that house, and he had to go have time with his father.
Yeah. How else could he be strengthened to yes. then go and preach and cast out devils and heal?
Right.
Unless he spent that time. He had that relationship with Father.
Whoa, Megan, you want to comment on that before we go to this next song?
Yeah, you know, just because he was Jesus didn't mean that he didn't go to his Father for guidance.
There you go. Yeah.
And that should show us that, you know, we are also human, just as Jesus was when he walked on the earth, is that we need guidance from our
Amen.
Father. And that's God.
Yes.
And just like Pastor Jim said, you know, I've been raised in church my whole life, and I thought that I knew the Lord, but I didn't really know his true nature until last year when I lost my son.
Right.
And, you know, that relationship is only going to grow if I allow it.
Amen.
Because it's not him that backs away. It's always us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we should continue to do exactly what Jesus did, is to go off alone and consult with your Father.
Amen. Woo, brings us perfectly to this song, again by the group Hillsong United, Only Jesus.
Secret
None but Jesus. That's what it's all about. None but Jesus. He's the one. He has so much for us. If we will concentrate and develop that relationship with him to greater measure. Nan, do you have a poem for us? Looked like you were typing away in there.
Yes, ma'am, I do. It's entitled, Meet Me. Will you meet me in your quiet place so that you can spend time with me? It's in those quiet moments that you spend where you can become free. Free from the worries that come your way, the things that will clutter up in your mind. I will give you the strength that you need and of all the chaos you can leave behind. Spend that special time with me. Breathe in the peace that you receive there. I will meet you there. Go ahead, try it. Simply get in a quiet place in prayer. I'm moving in your situations in life. I will minister peace to you even now. I delight to give you this special gift, and I can do such with my power.
Ah. Oh. That's good. That is right on. Oh, about this. Megan, talk to us about this. There's just absolutely no substitute for developing our individual relationships with Jesus and really getting to know him and talking to him and listening to his voice and all of that, don't you think?
Yes, it's a lifelong adventure.
It is.
It's a lifelong task.
Yes.
It's not something that you can just do on a whim. It's not something, I haven't prayed in a couple weeks, maybe I should, just so that he doesn't think I'm forgetting about him. Well, you know what? He sees you in those times when you're not taking time out for him.
Right.
And it hurts him, guys. I mean, it crushes him that you don't give him the time that he gives you.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes as we grow and learn about the Lord, is that we're going to go through times where it's going to be really difficult.
Right.
And that's where we don't want to pull away from him. We want to draw closer to him.
Amen.
He's our guidance, just like he was with Jesus when he walked the earth. He was still his guide. He was still guiding him.
Exactly.
And, you know, we should always be of a willing and learning spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're never a closed book. We can't be out, and I heard this at church this morning, we can't be out on an island by ourselves.
Right.
Because we weren't created to do this alone.
Right.
We were created to walk with him.
Mm. Amen. Which really leads me perfectly, and you didn't know this, to Mark 2, verse 13. Jesus went again to walk along the lake, as Pastor Jim mentioned. And again, a crowd came to him. And he ignored them and just walked away from them. Is that what your Bible says? No. Again, a crowd came to him, and he taught them. And strolling along, he saw a certain individual. Now, I have a grandson by this name, and so I'm very partial to this name, Levi. And I have a wonderful grandson by that name, and I'm going to have him with me next week for a few days, and I'm excited about that. This guy was a tax collector, and those were not popular people, were they not, Pastor Jim?
No. They were collaborators with the Romans.
Right. So they were considered the enemy, were they not?
Right. He would be considered an apostate because he was collaborating with the Romans, collecting taxes for the Romans from his own people, and you just really didn't get much lower than that.
Well, if that's the case, why wouldn't Jesus want to be as far away from a guy like Levi, the tax collector, as possible? Because he didn't make Jesus look very good because people did not like tax collectors. Why didn't Jesus avoid him, PJ?
Because Jesus wanted to save him.
Amen.
You know, I mean, that's the whole thing. Thank God he comes to us
yes.
in our sin.
Yes, amen,
you
amen.
You know, he doesn't just pass us by.
No.
He stopped there and
this was intentional.
Yeah, and he stopped there and said, you know, come on, follow me.
And he says to him, come follow me. He doesn't say, hey, you know, I know you got a bad reputation, but, you know, I can. No, he just says, come follow me.
Come follow me. And the amazing thing is Levi, who's also known as Matthew.
Yeah.
Got up and followed him.
He did.
And invited him to supper.
Oh, and I love this. Look at verse 15 of Mark 2. Later, Jesus and the disciples were at home having supper with a collection, and this is what the Message Bible says, I love this, of disreputable guests. unlikely as it seems, more than a few of them had become followers. Megan, talk to me about that. Jesus was hanging out with bad people.
Yes, he sure was, because it doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter what we've done.
Right.
He will still hang out with you. He loves you. He knows you're a good-natured person.
Right.
So that was another radical thing that he did, was he was showing other people that it's okay to hang out with tax collectors. It's okay to hang out with disreputable people.
Right.
It's okay, because I can forgive them of their sins, because that's what I do.
Exactly. That was his attitude. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on that?
And I was just thinking, it's the same thing for us.
Amen.
If we don't like the disreputable, how are they going to get saved?
Right.
I mean, you know, unless God miraculously appears to them sovereignly and tells them to, we may be the only people that's going to share the gospel with them. And we can't just not say anything. We can't ignore them because they are tax collectors or members of the IRS or... You know,
or all kinds of other.
Well, and Jesus hung out with prostitutes.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Every, you know, just the lowlifes. And.
But we live in a culture right now, Pastor Jim, where people are more concerned about their own reputation and how hanging out with somebody might affect or be seen with somebody, you know, might affect how they are thought of. You know, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the culture we live in is very prejudiced, and it's very. Isolationist, if you ask me.
Right.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's very much so. And so I'm not going to reach out to somebody because I don't like their nationality, their skin color, their religion, their orientation, whatever that happens to be. I'm not going to reach out to them because, ooh.
Yeah, it might make me look bad.
It might make me look bad, or I might catch something, you know.
But Jesus was
like Jesus touching the leper.
Right. But Jesus was so the opposite of those kinds of prejudice and intolerance. Jesus was not intolerant at all.
Right.
Megan, you want to comment on this since you're younger than PJ and me?
Well, it's true.
Okay, good. There you go.
It is true, and it rings true through all of the, through all of the ages of the people that have been on earth.
Yes.
Because, you know, even people judge other people for how they believe in the Lord.
Right.
And, you know, just because someone is a little bit more radical or someone's a little bit more open about talking about their love of the Lord doesn't make them a weirdo.
Right.
Yeah, it does.
You know.
Makes them a Jesus freak.
I am. And you know what?
Yes, you are.
That's a compliment.
Okay.
I am a Jesus freak.
All right.
And, you know, it's okay because, you know, no matter how many times, if there's someone that wants to condemn you, then the Lord will take care of them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's where continue on your path. If you know that you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, keep going. And if he tells you to walk up to somebody that you think might be dirty or they're homeless or maybe they're not going to be accepting of what you say, that's okay. If the Lord tells you to do it, you better do it.
Amen.
And, you know, at that time, if those people aren't accepting of what you said, it's okay because one day it'll come back and hit them. It's like, oh, that lady said that to me that one time. I wonder why I got so nasty and why I didn't listen. Well, it's because we're so close-minded that, you know, if anybody comes up and is radical to us, we instantly shut the door. We go back on our island. We choose to ignore them and go back to our old ways. But that's why the Lord is looking for those radical people today.
Ooh.
Is to spread the word, people, because this world is just, it's horrible. And we need to spread his love. We need to spread his compassion.
Amen.
And it's going to take those radical people to do it.
And it's not okay to just say, well, I have to remain politically correct here.
That's right.
You know, no, it's time to be radical and bold. We're going to talk about this more in our second hour. And I can't believe the first hour is almost over. Flies by here on the radio. We're so glad you're joining us today. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Just about ready to finish our eighth year of ministry on the air as we continue every Sunday afternoon live, tantalk1340.com, 1340 AM, and some other stations too in our area. Now we are and have been syndicated with the Starcom Media Network, across several stations, 21 across the United States, 400 affiliates in different countries. And so welcome to all of you, no matter where you are in the globe and listening to this. Each Sunday afternoon, this show is live, and then it is aired on the Starcom Media on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Central. So if you're listening on the Starcom Media, then you listened to us already this morning. So anyway, however that works, welcome all of you. We're just so glad you've joined us. We also have another show every Thursday night. Megan, tell us about Go Yard with Mama Mac. And who's Mama Mac anyway?
Well, Mama Mac is you, dear.
Oh, yeah, that's me. That's right. You're Mama Meg. I'm Mama Mac. That's right. That's my other name for my kids and grandkids. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go Yard is such a cool show. It's, you know, you're on there with Dr. Falzone, and you guys really dive into the things that sometimes people don't want to talk about.
Right.
And
it's the goal.
Guys, exactly. You guys give advice.
Yeah.
And you help us learn how to handle situations differently. And I have to say, it's God-given advice. It's good advice. It's great advice that, you know, if you're having a hard time in life, you need uplifted, listen to the show. Because I'll tell you what, there's some good stuff in there.
Oh, it is. GoYard2014.org is our website. You can go there and access some of the shows. We just started that Thursday night venture in September. So it airs on this network, Tantalk 1340, every Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. It airs an hour earlier on Starcom Media, and that's 5 o'clock Eastern. Pastor Jim, we have a prayer line that has been going for so many years. I can't even. Actually, I think it dates back originally to when we started Beacon of Hope, and then we took kind of, when we decided to put everything online, emails, then it took a different tone, the prayer ministry. It used to be just verbal, mm-hmm. you know, when we first started Beacon in 01. Now it's very much an email type prayer line, isn't it?
Very much so. If anybody has a prayer request, please send it to us at prayers, plural, at bohmglobal.com. And either myself or Betty, who happens to be Megan's mother. Hey, Betty.
Hey there.
One of us will pick it up and, you know, pick up their prayer request off the email. We will write a prayer to go with it, and, you know, so we can all pray in unison,
right,
in unity about whatever your need is. And that gets sent out to everybody on the prayer line. And we all pray that. We all pray for you. And we have seen answers.
Oh, yeah.
We continue to see answers. We will continue to see answers. And I always say, when God answers your prayer, please let us know, because I keep track. I keep a folder in my Outlook, all for answered prayers.
Praise God.
I mean, it's a great ministry. If you'd like to be a part of it, just email us at prayers@bohmglobal.com, and let us know. We'll add you to the prayer list.
Amen.
The only thing we ask is that you pray.
Hey, there you go. And you write a prayer, and they can just repeat it right there.
Just repeat it right there.
Woo, it's time for Station ID. Don't go anywhere. Join us for this second hour.